Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton along with Mike Hanford.
This chit chat is shit chat.
And Tim Kalpakis.
Up. What is up?
Oh, wow. I see Whoa. What he's doing.
Wait, is he like Shatner now?
I thought it was like a Yoda thing at first, but it was not.
It was a Connery Bond thing all along, you fools.
Well, he doesn't switch. Bond. No, I see what you're saying.
No, here, I'll do it. Mike, listen to this. Ready, Mike?
Yeah. Do it again.
Up. What is up?
Groovy, baby.
Now, you made an interesting point about how chit-chat is shit-chat.
Well, it could be. Hmm. I said could and couldn't at the same time. Couldn't be.
I think we're going to be a little off this episode. You said those words at the same time. Me, I'm all jittery because I had an evening venti iced coffee from Starbucks.
Boy.
You don't want to do that.
Ooh.
You know, I drink them in the morning and it just wakes me up. So I think I'm impenetrable. Mm-hmm. But then I just had one in the evening and now I actually kind of feel like my hands are shaking a little bit.
Damn. Why do they call it venti? Is venti because it's so tall it goes from like the ground up to the vents? Jesus Christ.
Mike, can I talk to you off pod?
Mike, don't say that sort of shit.
If it's about this, I'd love to.
Don't say that sort of shit.
I feel like I'm making an ass of myself. Sorry, Jeff, what were you saying? I'm an ass of myself.
Don't say that sort of shit on the pod. And then don't also say that chit chat is shit chat. That's our whole business.
The business of shit chat.
Yeah, we monetize shit chat. That's our bread and butter.
The audience knows what they're getting.
Tim, I couldn't help but notice you got yourself one of those White Claw Deluxos.
Yeah. Deluxo Supremo. I'm trying to take the edge off of my Starbucks buzz. With this White Claw Surge Cranberry, 8% alcohol.
Damn.
All right.
Mm. That's a good poor man's speedball you got going.
Yeah.
You know, Tim's a little jittery, he's juiced up. I'm a little sluggish tonight. I just finished my pot roast, my rump roast. I made a rump roast tonight.
So he's sluggish.
And it made you tired? Oh, you finished eating it or you finished making it?
Finished eating it.
Oh.
And I had two helpings.
The polar opposite of a venti iced coffee is a rump roast.
I had a rump roast, which was a little tough. First time I'm doing it, so I got to figure it out. But it was edible. The taste was good. I did mashed potatoes with pub cheese melted in it.
Oh, shit.
Sour cream. And green beans, stir-fried green beans with squash and onions.
Now, folks at home, Mike is the master of the square meal.
Yeah, man.
As long as I've known him, he's had a protein, a vegetable, and a starch.
And to drink, non-fat milk.
Oh. He's a country boy.
Wow. A glass of milk.
That's why I'm grown so tall. That's why I'm a little venti.
So tall. Are you still adding inches to your height at this point?
Yeah, well, I'm still growing them.
Yeah, sure.
I asked the doctor, I said, hey, if I'm still growing them, can I still count them? He's like, yeah, that's sort of my job, too. Yeah, it's a square meal around here.
That's nice.
Always has been. It's like that meme where an astronaut's got a gun on another astronaut. Always has been. You know what I'm talking about.
No, what's that all about?
Never seen that meme?
There's a lot of memes I haven't seen.
I can picture it.
It's like an astronaut is looking at the Earth and he's like, wow, it's round. And then another astronaut is behind him with a gun on his back saying, always has been.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I don't know what the original meme was. I was just making that up. But, you know, you see it. It's all sorts of things now.
Gotcha. Yeah, it could be anything at this point. Well, now, what are you guys eating for dinner? Like, if you don't eat square meals, what are you eating?
Opposite of you. I'll have, like for lunch today, I had, like, a leftover. I mean, it's very much leftovers these days. Mm. I had a leftover hot and sour soup from a Chinese delivery order. Mm-hmm. So like, right before this pod, I reached in there, took out the big container, gulped down some cold soup, you know, and I'm often just eating like just a protein or just a veggie side. I'm never having a round plate of food.
Same.
Even for dinner?
If I go to a restaurant, they'll serve me a nice round meal.
Now, I do this too, Tim, but you care about food, but it seems like you eat hastily and haphazardly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know what happened, but I have just sort of stopped cooking. So we will have, I'll get a giant order of a delivery meal. I'll get, whether it's like kebabs or it's Indian food or it's Chinese, I never just order the one dinner. I get us like several dinners worth of food. So then it's kind of always leftovers, but then
That's good.
But what I should do is build a nice plate and nuke it. But instead I'm just going in there. One wonton.
But also, Tim, I don't know if you do this. But like, I'll drink so much coffee during the day that I'll be like, oh, why am I all fucked up? Oh, it's 5 p.m. and I haven't eaten since like breakfast.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, I'm going out soon, though. All I have is baby carrots, and I'll eat a fuckload of baby carrots. and that'll be it. Or like, it'll be like baby carrots and cereal.
Dude, yeah.
Cereal's a good enough meal.
Not a square meal, though. You got a good foundation, Mike.
Here's my worst thing is this. Because I want to have square meals, I've always got salad stuff here with the idea that I'm going to make us some big salads that have fun things on them. And I used to do that a lot.
Okay, Elaine.
Stop it.
All right.
All right. You knew you were.
The way he said it makes me think it's not all right.
He ain't
more.
Stopping. There's no stopping him.
Go ahead, Seinfeld, Tim. Now on Netflix. Check it out, folks. But on a serious note. So I always have like a few bags of lettuce in the fridge, and then
ooh, those go bad.
I've got all the crunch in my cabinets. Jeff, you got to get into this.
Those go bad.
Up it, they do. I mean, I throw out brown muck every week. a bag of brown mud.
Don't you also do something else with brown muck every?
Yeah,
day?
I saw some brown.
He was about to tell me what I need to do.
Okay, yeah, let's get into what you
got. I saw some of that in my toilet bowl the other day, but I had flushed it down. Anyway, Jeff, here's what you do. Like your friend Tim, you get all the crunchers. Yeah, I look up into my cabinet, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I've got wonton strips. I've got tortilla strips. I've got beet strips. I've got sesame seeds. I've got almonds. And it's all the stuff to go on the top of my salads.
Right.
But when I'm being lazy, which is way more often, I'll go in there and I'll just be eating like the Chinese chow mein crunchers that are supposed to go on the top of my salad. I'll just be taking them to the dome.
Eating them as
chips.
Oh,
man. Yeah. I used to do like the LaChoy thing. I used to do that as a little boy.
I had Choy as a very little boy.
What's the LaChoy thing?
LaChoy is a brand.
I know that. But what kind of food were you eating?
Like those little noodle fried noodles.
Oh, crunchy. Okay. Crunchy.
Hey,
little crunchies.
Ooh, up top, I wanted to mention that out in the wild, I always like it when I encounter some sloppy boy stuff out in the wild, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of fun for me to say, I learned that on the pod.
Oh, yes.
And now in life, I'm not dumb.
Wow.
I'm smart. Oh,
I've taken the opportunity from this podcast to mansplain to anyone who will talk to me.
Yeah.
Things at the bottom from the pot. Go ahead.
I'm mansplaining to other men at this point.
Yeah, me too.
I'm mansplaining to you two. Listen to this trifecta. I recently attended the wedding of friend of the pod, Eva Anderson.
Oh, nice.
And this was an intimate affair, family only because of COVID and stuff. And you know, I attended on as both a friend of Eva, but let's be honest, more of a plus one of Jessica. I'm at this wedding that was very well. Eva's, I mean, you know, we said she's a cultured, worldly lady, right?
Yeah, yeah.
She's mm-hmm. She knows her shit. So I'm going to this wedding thing, and this is there's going to be a good cocktail list.
Yeah. Yeah, you betcha.
I walk in. If I look at the cocktail list, they've done the thing.
That's your neck.
Oh, where's the men's room?
Sorry, no, keep going. I can do this the whole
day. I walk up to the bar. And I lay my peepers down on the menu.
Boing!
They've got two cocktails that are the feature cocktails of the day.
One, two.
Whose voice is that?
Yeah, it's your brain.
Oh, it's my inner monologue. Huh? One is the drink of the bride.
Oh.
The Boulevardier.
Wow. Torn from the headlines of
that's
Sloppy
cool.
Boys.
Yeah, do you think she heard? Well, it comes out.
I'm sure she would have. I'm sure she would have had to plan it in advance, but it was perfectly timed for me. Then listen to this:
the other drink was the Russian root. Wow!
I was going to bring some warm mug and put it on the ground.
Oh man!
I thought that would have been really funny.
No, the drink of the groom, Vesper.
You're kidding me!
The drink of the day.
This is crazy. So,
okay, now my head is spinning.
Yep.
And here's the
this
third.
This before the cocktails, I'm assuming.
And there were quite a few tipped that night. But then they've got a very cool thing. They've got an Exotica band. You know, I've talked to you guys about Martin Denny, you know, and Exotica music. They've got an Exotica band that had not yet set up. But I see the instruments. And I walk over to the xylophone. And you know me, if I see some music gear, I'm going to go poke around a little bit.
Yeah, especially if it's in the Exotica genre.
I go up to the xylophone and there's a sheet, there's a music stand there. And I look at song one.
Yeah.
They're going to play. Yellowbird.
Get out of here.
Jeez.
Come on.
By Arthur Lyman.
Yeah.
The song that we played in our Yellowbird episode.
Jeez Louise.
The song that sent Mike climbing to the top of Yellowbird trees. So this was all within a 1 minute period. And I said, we're good.
Yeah.
Damn. That's crazy. That's you got to sit down for a second and say, all right, whose world am I in here? What microchips did I get in the vaccine?
Here's what brought me down to earth. Then also, recently, I go to see the French Dispatch at the Americana, walk up to the bar, and I say, hey, can I have a Negroni? And then I got a little tooed from the bartender. No, we don't have a Negroni. So I was riding a little too high on being a little cocktail boy.
Yeah. He's like, I heard about you at the wedding. You got to...
Wait, where did you dare order a Negroni?
At the Americana movie theater bar.
Oh, in Glendale.
At the AMC Glendale. But then I says to him, buddy, I'm going to see the French Dispatch. It's kind of a fancy little movie. I want a fancy little drink. I don't want to drink a beer. I look behind him. I see a bottle of Di Serrano. I say, give me a Di Serrano on the rocks with a cherry. And that was pretty good.
Ooh, nice. Like, I'm going to make you grab some weird bottle, you little fucker.
Yeah. You want to say no to me?
I'm not taking a beer, you jackass. Hey, we should go there for the Jackass movie.
Tim, I do want to bring up something for the listener who can't see. That's a crazy story, by the way. That's three in a row. Bing, bing, bing.
Thank you.
Wild.
You know, we're doing this podcast that we're recording, and Tim, I got to tell you, Halloween was a couple weeks ago, and yet this guy is still dressed like Beetlejuice. Look at the shirt he's got on.
Oh, fuck.
You sit here and you tell me, Jeff, that this guy's not looking like Beetlejuice.
No. I was. That's a good shirt, Tim. It's got big, bold vertical stripes on it. Half Hunter Green, half Dodger Blue.
On my screen, I'm seeing all black stripes.
Oh, no.
So it's green and blue. Mike, are you colorblind? Are we learning?
No. Me, no.
Jeff, thank you. You've complimented this shirt before, so when I was putting it on today, I said, I don't want to wear that shirt Jeff likes.
Like, well, at least Jeff will like it.
Yeah. Nobody else seems to like me on this earth.
On this earth.
At least I got my little duddy buddy after all. In the end. Enough shit chat. You guys want to get down to the drink of the day?
Yes, of course.
Yazoo! Okay. here's what's going on here, folks. We are inching toward the dry martini. We are working our way to the big bopper itself.
The clit.
Slowly.
The big boy.
Slowly but inevitably.
We love...
the funny drunkard's drink.
We love martinis. The IBA calls it the dry martini. We just call it the martini. But we're getting there. Mm-hmm. And along the way, we've touched on the espresso martini, the hot drink of the year. Mm-hmm. We've touched on the tuxedo, a variation, you know, on the martini. And today, we're doing Vesper. The Vesper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There we go. Now you're sounding more like Connor Reed.
You've had?
Never had. Heard.
Tim, I've had.
Never had.
Tim.
Had.
Had with I had with you at, the Dresden, of course.
Yeah, you guys are getting all these old-fashioned drinks at the Dresden.
That was we did a round of Vespers, and then we also did a round of Gibson's, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with the little onions in them.
Look, that was a long night. That was a real long night, because that wasn't the first stop either. So I forgot about those Gibson's.
Yeah, you know what's weird? Unrelated, the next day, I felt kind of sick.
Yeah, no shit.
Must have been something going around that night. Maybe it was COVID.
Well, yeah, it could have been a Delta variant.
Yes, that's what it was. I first had this at Dan Tana's, that kind of great, kind of rowdy little Italian place in West Hollywood. And basically what we're getting at here, folks, is this is a drink named after a Bond lady. Vesper Lynd.
Yes.
Mike, have you read the 1953 novel Casino Royale by Ian Fleming?
I have, my dear boy, and I was looking at my bookshelf, and I cannot find the book. But yes, I've read that. It was the first one of the series. I was going to try to read through them all, and I read that one and another one.
Casino Royale, yeah?
Yeah.
Casino. Now, what's weird is that Casino Royale is the first Bond book.
Yeah.
It's a serious secret agent story, but the 1967 movie Casino Royale is like a jokey parody Peter Sellers silly movie.
Right.
I don't know why they did that, because then the 2006 Daniel Craig Casino Royale is just a like a movie version of the book.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, they just found other things to do with Bond, and they were like, well, we're not going to start with the first book. We're going to start with Dr. No and do all that. And, you know, folks, if you like this Bond talk, we just talked about Goldfinger on the Blowout on Wednesday.
It's Bond week.
It's Bond week.
It's week. Bond week. Hey, remember that on Comedy Bang Bang, there was a very funny sketch written by Joe Saunders where Scott's going to a prom and he puts on his tux and he's like, the name's Bond, James Bond. And then the whole thing, check it out online. Anyway. in Mike's beloved novel that he seems to love so much, Casino Royale, there's a scene where James Bond is gambling at the titular Casino Royale, and he places an order with a little French waiter, and he says, a dry martini, one in a deep champagne goblet. And the waiter says, oui, monsieur. And then Bond says, actually, just a moment. And he changes his order. He says, three measures of Gordon's. One of vodka, half a measure of quina lele, shake it very well until it's ice cold, and then add a large thin slice of lemon peel. Got it? And then later, Bond explains, when I'm concentrating, I never have more than one drink before dinner, but I do like that one to be large and very strong and very cold and very well made. I hate small portions of anything, particularly when they taste bad. This drink's my own invention. I'm going to patent it when I think of a good name. And then later in the book, he meets the kind of femme fatale Vesper, and he names this drink after her.
Wow.
And that is the invention of the drink.
That's wild.
Wow. So I think, here's how Ian Fleming got it. Basically, the word Vesper is some sort of aspect of evening mass in Catholicism, like a Vesper.
Oh,
like
Are they candles or something?
Maybe.
Vesper candles?
Like nighttime candles? No, it's votive candles.
Votive candles is what I'm thinking of.
Well, there's something Catholic that's evening related about a Vesper. And then there used to be a Caribbean rum drink called the Vesper that was an evening drink. And Ian Fleming had had that on vacation once, liked the name, but didn't think it fit Bond. So when he was writing this book, he asked a friend of his who knew cocktails, hey, what's a good like drink for Bond to order? And his buddy was like, how about this, where it's like vodka and gin and Lillet instead of vermouth? And because normally James Bond would order a vodka martini shaken, not stirred, which is what you hear in Goldfinger. Anyway, this drink is mentioned in this movie. It catches on. In the Daniel Craig 2006 Casino Royale, they did this scene verbatim. He, even with the fake out where he orders a dry martini and then changes his mind.
That's awesome.
Does he like flub the lines at all, or he got them down perfect and they kept it in the movie?
Daniel Craig, like, he gets the line right, but then he slips on a lemon peel.
Oh, jeez.
And
couldn't cut around it.
He turns the camera and he goes, put that on the reel, blooper reel, which is weird.
Hey, it is kind of crazy. You know how, like, Bond has gone through so many, like, versions? Like, not just actors, but, like, some of them are silly and some of them are kind of crazy. James Bond Jr. Funny, like, what was the state of the franchise when they made that silly one? And, like, it just doesn't seem like you would make a comedy version with James Bond source material if the franchise was going well.
Very strange.
You wouldn't take the piss out of it.
And it's too soon. It's, like, 3 years after Goldfinger, they're already doing a wacky comedy. And also, I tried watching it, and I was not enjoying it.
Yeah.
And it's... like, Austin Powers, like, flat out kind of just took some jokes from it. Like,
damn.
It's very weird.
Well, because, like, the whole thing of that movie is that the Achilles heel of Secret Servicemen is that they can't turn down sex, right? Like, so they're all like, a bunch of horny different James Bonds?
Yeah. Unlike us, who remain rather pious.
Oh, yes. Quite chaste.
went on a mission.
Yeah. When we're on our podcast mission to drink all of the IBA list. I was just going to then bring us up to the modern decade. Have either of you seen Last Night in Soho?
Not yet.
No, Tim, I have not.
Is it a horror movie?
No, it's like a thrillery, like... It's the new Edgar Wright.
It's the new Edgar Wright, and it's like a 60s thing. I haven't seen, but...
If it's Edgar Wright, I don't want to be wrong. I will watch that.
Contest winner Neil Campbell has seen it, and I was asking him, because I heard that there was like a Vesper in that movie, but I haven't seen the movie yet. And I said, what's the... because, you know, I'm always trying to know, like, who orders a Vesper, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Type of person?
What? Why?
Why?
What?
What?
Who?
COVID. I think it's pretty clear that a Vesper is a fancy drink, right? It's an elegant choice. And the way that it's used in Casino Royale is basically Bond is kind of showboating. Instead of just getting a dry martini, he's got this very specific, you know, like instead of vodka and... or vodka or gin, he's going vodka and gin. And instead of vermouth, it's Lillet. So you're kind of impressing people with an elegant drink. And
impress me.
Neil told me that he was like, I was like, can you like tell me the whole scene where there's a Vesper in Last Night in Soho? Yeah. And he says like a lady like is in the 60s. Maybe there's a time travel element or something like that. She orders in the 60s, the swinging 60s, she orders a Vesper, and that's like the cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. And then like later in a different time period, she's in more of like a divey place and orders a Vesper, and people are like, oh, that's too fancy for here. So yeah, I think that Edgar Wright was using the Vesper as like the elegant drink of like, of Soho in the
60s. So Tim, did that resonate with you having been unable to order a Negroni at the Americana?
that's exactly how I felt. A shot down.
So what's in this thing? I mean, James Bond already told us, but like, give us the sort of podcast standard recipe.
Yeah, the IBA has done, because the James Bond version is gigantic, so I think they've kind of done the math for us.
He drinks so much in that, but like the movies and the book, it's crazy.
He's got a problem.
It's like the 60s thing, like the Mad Men thing where they drink like martinis at lunchtime.
Just sort of constantly, yeah.
Yeah.
According to the IBA, we're going to do 45 millimeters.
Oh. Damn, you got to pour it on the table and measure it?
Okay, yeah. So this supports my venti case.
Yeah, all the way up to the vent in your ceiling. 45 milliliters of gin. That's an ounce and a half, folks.
Uh-huh.
15 milliliters of vodka. That's a half an ounce, folks. 7.5 milliliters of Lillet Blanc. That's a quarter of an ounce. Are you guys familiar with Lillet Blanc?
Yeah, we just used it.
Yeah.
Yes.
What did we use it in?
We used it in the...
Corpse Reviver.
Yeah.
Yep.
So here's the thing. James Bond ordered a Quina Lillet. And there's no such thing as Quina Lillet anymore. So the IBA says to use Lillet Blanc. But Basically, Lillet, I think there was a recipe changed. They got changed in like...
Yeah, we talked about that. And Lillet was just like, no, we didn't change it.
Exactly. But no. People who know their shit say, if you want to really taste what James Bond had, instead of Lillet, you should use Coke Americano.
Yeah, if you want to taste what a fake character tasted.
Fake guy had. But the difference is just bitterness. Quina Lillet has quinine in it, you know, or as the British say, quinine. That is, it's the stuff that's in tonic water that is bitter.
Mm-hmm.
You guys don't like bitterness, so you would not like Coke Americano.
No.
IBA says Lillet Blanc, which is, you know, it's a French white wine liqueur that's very sweet and very pleasant, and I like it. And I like it better than vermouth.
Me too.
You know what I'll say about this drink? It's a classy drink. Classy because of Bond, you think? Or classy, it would have been classy anyway?
Because of Bond.
Well,
I think there's something rather crude about gin and vodka together. I love it, but that almost feels like there's a really good martini at Rao's that's gin and vodka. And I think they're saying like, yeah, dude, you're going to, this is like a masculine martini. Mm-hmm. In this case, it's kind of funny. I don't know.
It depends who orders it. If Mr. Bean ordered it, it wouldn't be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Bean, he gets into a lot of trouble.
There we go. You're not very talkative, though.
No, but he's funny. He's funny.
It's kind of funny that Mr. Bean is not, he's not like a silent character. He does talk.
He murmurs all the time. Yeah. And he says, he says some stuff.
Lillet Blanc.
So what I was going to say is, this is a fancy drink, but it's very simple.
Yes.
A simple drink for three simple men.
The method is pour all ingredients into a cocktail shaker filled with ice cubes, shake and strain into a chilled cocktail glass, garnish with a lemon zest. Jeff, do you have fond memories of this drink when we had it?
I have foggy memories of this drink when we had it, Tim.
I've never made one for myself. I always like it when I've ordered it, but I still am... I'm more of a dry martini guy. I'm always going to like an olive over a twist, but I'm amped up and revved up and jazzed to make this in my own kitchen right now.
Me too. Let's go. Let's do it.
You know what I might do? I might put on, you know that song's like shake, 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 shake your booty. I might put that song on while I'm doing the shaking part.
Oh, I'm going to do that song that's like stir, 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 stir your ass around.
All right. Well, you'd have not made the drink correctly.
I was going to do a song too, but you know, I'm going to actually just make mine in silence.
Perfect.
Ooh, not unlike the Benedictine monks who make
chartreuse.
Folks, we'll see you in a bit.
Are they Benedictine?
Shit. Yeah. Forgot. No, they're Carthusian.
Damn.
God, the Benedictine monks make Benedictine liqueur.
Don't edit this out, Jeff.
No, it's all in. We don't edit this show.
No.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And we're back with Vespers in hand. We hope you enjoyed those messages from our sponsors. And maybe you didn't enjoy the messages so much. Maybe you don't love the ads.
I like them.
Well, that's, yeah. We like them. We love them.
I'm twisted.
But you at home, maybe you want to skip the ads. Maybe you get tired of clicking that 15 seconds forward, 15 seconds backwards.
Maybe you don't have the fucking time for them.
Yeah.
In today's go, go, go world, you got to get where you got to be.
Yeah. Maybe you want that pure content, no interruptions. Oh, now we're talking, right, folks? Yeah. Maybe you march your little ass over to Patreon and check out some of the tiers where we get the ad-free episodes and some of the bonus content.
You go to Patreon, you subscribe. Oh!
But enough about that. People know.
They know. They know where to get the good stuff. They know. It's all happening over there. It's fun.
Did you guys express your lemon zests?
Oh, yeah. Squeeze the hell out of it.
Of course.
All over that thing.
You can't not.
Mine turned out really small. I did it by the book. I tried to do first round by the book.
Mine too.
Tiny, tiny drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine, you're not filling up that martini glass. I've got one of these small, tiny martini glasses.
Hey, check it out. Coupe glass. Jeffy's got a coupe glass.
When did this
happen?
Jeffy's
got the Cooper.
I got it at Target.
That's great.
Before we continue here, I just want to ask you guys something. And I don't have to do this if it's a problem, but I brought a little snack. I just want to know if this is, like, okay for on the podcast. If not, I can totally nix it and eat it later.
Totally. Yeah, sure. Oh,
he's having an on mic blue tortilla chip.
I got blue tortilla chips and salsa.
Mike, You just had a giant rump roast. What are you doing?
You were full and tired.
I'm not full anymore. All right, so I won't do this. So you're concerned about my being full? Then fine, I won't eat them for the rest of the show.
I did I'm working on a job right now that's over Zoom, and the other day, and really, I don't think there's any rule that we're not allowed to eat. You do whatever you want, but no one's been eating on the Zoom, so I didn't want to be the first person to eat.
Yeah, somebody's got to be first.
and hey, I'm the best candidate for the job, but I didn't want to be a big old cruncher. But I was eating a banana, and I didn't want to just, like, you know, do what I normally do. Chiquita to the dome. Fellatio style. Jenna Jameson style.
Basically, sure. Two big bites.
Yeah. So what I did was, I off camera, it's a TV show, I'm pitching jokes. Here's my idea. Then I reach to my banana, break off small chunks one at a time, little one inch long chunks, put them in my mouth, and then just kind of I never chewed. I let the banana just melt on the tongue like it was communion
wafers.
Like the body of Christ itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Transubstantiation. And it really did like melt and just kind of like slide gross. Down my throat.
That's fucking gross.
That's gross. But even the starting with the pulling it off with the hand, I don't like that move.
I don't like
myself.
That.
I don't like the. I don't like banana residue in my hand. I think banana residue is weird.
Yeah.
Well,
I just couldn't do it. But yeah. What are we doing?
We're, we got sips to do. So, we got sips.
So no with the chips then.
No chips. Yes, sips.
Gotcha. Great.
Wow! Look at them. Cheers, y'all.
I don't cheers. Cheers, cheers. Money Penny.
Cheers.
Q, this,
Q and also M.
Yazoo! Bondi boy.
Okay.
I tell you what, if I go to a casino, I am not drinking one of these to gamble. My brain will be elsewhere quickly.
You're gambling with your life if you drink this.
Whew.
Yeah, man, that's a nice stiff teeny. Not too much. The Lillet is in, it's a good amount because it didn't turn it into like a sweet affair.
Yeah. I wonder what this would taste like. Well, I'm already wondering. Let me take a second sip.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise, I'm already putting variations on the Vespa Martini.
Purr. Vesh. Purr.
Tim, this talking like Bond is getting old, not getting old.
Oh!
I like it.
Oh, yeah. See, James should have used that trick to kind of like fake you out. When you express that zest, express your zest. Ooh, that could have been good.
Ah,
like express yourself.
Express your zest.
It's amazing how much that like dominates. I'm only just, it's on my hands and it's on in my nose and it's like really impacting the taste, even though it's not really in there.
Yeah.
Because it's all alcohol. There's not a lot to fill this thing out with bubbles or soda or anything.
This is, I mean, we've talked about this before, but this is a real chest warmer.
Yeah, it's a real stiff really little bugger.
But I love this stiff, I love martinis, and I'm also liking all these variations because you're not fucking around. It's all about cold liquor, and you're just drinking liquor, but if you get it really cold... I just read Punch Magazine had an interesting article recently about steakhouses and what's going on. And
is that the boxing periodical?
Oh, God, I could just wring your little neck right now.
All you got to do is say yes or no. It's a yes or no question. No, it's a yes or no question. You can say that.
Why are you British for that question?
Well, we're drinking the James Bond drink. Well, he's from Britain.
Well, they were talking about how steakhouses are... It's all about indulgence, right? It's like you just get like an a la carte, like a ribeye, like a big fat 20-ounce piece of meat on a plate, and it's about the you're being a bad boy when you eat that, you know?
Yeah.
And they said the same thing carries over, and it's like the sides are like potatoes au gratin are so fatty, and all the salads are like really like mayonnaise-y and stuff. They said that that's kind of why martinis and old fashions are the drink at steakhouses is because it's like, just give me the liquor.
Give me the
and
thing.
The modern thing at steakhouses is like, in that article, it said something about like just getting them like crazy cold. I think that like they're now like serving like sub-zero martinis and they found like sciencey ways to make it crazy.
Well,
cold.
Doing mine, I did a Tanqueray and Tito's. And I pulled that Tito's right out of the freezer.
Yeah.
And when I was shaking that thing, it was like hurting my hand getting it out, all the last drops, because it was, like I said, so small. I want every drop.
Sure. Hurting your hand because of the freezy effect.
Yep.
I use Tanqueray too. Have you guys ever had Tanqueray 10?
No.
Have you heard of it?
10 calories?
It's Tanqueray, but it's like, I don't know what the 10 stands for, but it's just a little better than Tanqueray. 10 a little bit units better.
10 units of taste.
My understanding was to be the type of thing if, you know, you had a Jose Cuervo and then you had a Cuervo silver and then gold or whatever.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, like, you know, Makers has like a Makers 95 or whatever.
When talking about the cold drinks, when I went to Duke's, where old Ian Fleming came up with the shaken not stirred idea for his Bond in London. They brought out the ingredients. They sort of make them right in front of you there. You sit down, they wheel a cart around. And they brought these liquors out from this like freezer room they had.
Man, I love a cart. That's so fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
What did you do?
You know, I think I had something maybe similar to this because I remember it having gin and vodka in it. Mm. But I don't think it was called a Vesper. I think it had other things in it as well. Huh. But it really knocked me down. I was like, it was not good.
Did you not do good. A technical or yawn?
No, no, no. I went over to the Buckingham Palace and just messed with tourists and were like... I may have told this story already.
You're supposed to mess with the beefeater guards, not with the...
No, I didn't even go that far. Oh, man. I was sitting there and be like, excuse me, if people like taking pictures, like, could you tell me where the Buckingham Palace is? And they were like, oh, this is it. I was like, oh, yeah.
Andrew, you know what that reminds me of in Chicago that made me laugh?
Mm.
We went to Lou Malnati's with Cassidy. Yes. And then we're like, let's go check out the Bean. And then we went to that park. And then, you know, there were a bunch of people like sitting around on the bench minding their own business.
Yeah, now what is that Bean? What did they call that? That Bean is called
Cloud
the Millennium
Gate. Cloud Gate
in Millennium Park. That big silver Bean.
And like you went up to a family who was vacationing and just, you know, eating something at a park bench. And you're like,
they're eating their lunch.
And you're like, this is going to sound crazy, but is there like a giant silver Bean in this park?
And the lady was really sweet. She was like, it's not crazy. If you go around the thing there behind the shrubs, yes, you'll see it.
It's the one attraction everybody goes there for.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was hanging out with a couple of Margeras. You guys.
I know. Geez, we should do the
prank
next
people.
The next Jackass 5.
With you're like April and Phil Margera.
You know, as I was singing Shake, Shake, Shake when I was making my drink.
Sure.
It made me think of in Goldmember, the Austin Powers movie. There's it's like hey Goldmember.
Yeah,
yeah, that's good.
He had his Midas touch, but he touched it too much.
Hmm.
Hey, speaking of comedy movies, I would just remind when you said Tangeray 10.
Yeah,
I had a flash of the movie 10 with Bo Derek, which I've never seen. But are you aware of this? It's like a
yeah.
Nope.
I've never seen it, but I know what it is.
I still have never seen it, but. Here's what I was just thinking. It's, you know, when you're a kid and there's a reference to something, you're watching Looney Tunes and then Bugs is like, could have been a contender. And you're
and
like,
you just laugh
he could have been a contender.
Yeah,
Mom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. He's doing a James Cagney like
Frank Sinatra or whatever.
Yeah. Wait, what? What's Cagney? You dirty rat. And I'd be like, yeah, he's a dirty rat. Anyway, a version of that is in Tommy Boy. Bo Derek is getting out of the pool, and Chris Farley is like, oh, she's dead. She's a 10. And I was always like, yeah, that lady is a 10. Not knowing that's a reference to a movie from the 80s called 10 starring Bo Derek, and they were recreating the movie poster with that iconic shot.
Wow.
And she's with Dudley Moore, right?
Studley Moore, if you ask me.
Well, have you ever seen Arthur? Arthur's a really funny movie.
I never have, and if I do watch it, I'm going to watch the Russell Brand one. Now, Dudley Moore, I believe, was in the Goon Show with Peter Sellers, star of Casino Royale.
Okay,
and Spike Milligan.
Really, I think comes around.
Or were they in Beyond the Fringe?
Boy.
I'll tell you this, they're British.
Well, that's for sure, yeah.
Well, we've lost all of our younger listeners.
And I mean,
some of the older ones.
Yeah, I would say even like baby boomers would be tuning out. That's like greatest generation. Hey, folks, if you're pre-war, you got to tune into the Sloppy Boys.
Yeah, I was just having this conversation with
Acast. I love Acast Media.
I pay extra to not hear the Manscaped ad. I was talking with Sloppy Boys director John Haskell the other day.
Sure.
And we were talking about generations. What generation is before Boomer? Is that the greatest generation?
Greatest generation.
I think in their day they were called GI, the GI generation. And then I think that Brokaw in his book coined the term the greatest generation.
Now, is there anything before that?
That back then was like, the flappers and the party boys.
Yeah, I thought
and before
I
that.
Yeah,
before that, early man,
Neanderthal.
Like cave drawings and stuff.
Because isn't the sort of idea here is that just generations were sort of concocted as a, because like Madison Avenue and advertising got so big, and it was a way to track like numbers and stuff, right?
They do seem to be coming faster, don't they?
Maybe.
Yeah, I it's all because of boomers, because, you know, you would have like Victorian era and Elizabethan era, and those eras are bigger. You didn't need to track generations until the baby boomers, because that was the big, there was
post-war
a baby boom.
Baby boom, yeah.
Everybody came home from World War II and had babies. The GIs had babies.
And how did that
start?
So
you had to name all those kids, because it was just like, it was a very large generation all of a sudden. And now I feel like, you know, time is moving so fast and culture is moving so fast that we're naming generations despite their size, right?
But it's because like Gen X was small, and that was notable about Gen X.
Oh.
Now, millennials were the kids of the boomers, so we're big again. Gen Z is a little smaller again.
Jesus. Okay. I guess my idea about it being just purely an advertisement game was way off.
No, but you're right though, because like I think that like
Don Draper was a GI.
It's profitable to
track that stuff.
We can appeal to the people born between this year and this year, because yes, their values are different.
Demographics.
And, demographics are, it's important to chart that stuff now in capitalism.
Because a baby boomer was like a teenager in the 50s, right? And a teenager was like, that's the first time there was like an idea of a teenager.
Right, because you used to just, you'd be a kid and then you had to go to the factory and work.
Yeah.
there was no time to wear Converse.
Yeah.
Or cruise around in your...
These days you can wear Chuck Taylors for 20, 30 years and be an adolescent.
And like media has part to do with it too, because all those movies would come out like, I was a teenage Martian. Or like the idea of a teenager kind of came out. And there was the idea of like, oh, a juvenile delinquent. They really made a meal out of like teens.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah, like a rebel, but he didn't exactly have a cause for his rebellion.
Wow.
If we get it on the ground floor, no one has really named the generation that comes after Gen Z yet. So if we want to say like, look, the sloppy boys generation.
Slophead generation, yeah.
Yeah, slophead.
if you're kind of getting a little tanked on yellowbirds in the yellowbird tree and conceiving kids, those are sloppy babies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like Muppet Babies. They're like a small version of you.
Mm-hmm. Gonzo and all the rest.
This is a good little drink you got going here.
How would you tweak it? Look, this isn't above reproach.
I was wondering if you could do a dirty Vesper.
What would that be?
Same thing here, except with an olive. Maybe a little of that olive.
No, I have some olives. I might fucking do that, Mike.
Shit, okay.
I wonder how the Lillet will jive with an olive, because Lillet's kind of sweet. But I do think gin, vodka, and olive, that's good.
But I got to tell you, Tim, sometimes vermouth is a little sweet.
That's true, especially when you're dealing with sweet vermouth.
Yeah, he's got you there, Tim.
I kind of got you up against the wall on this one.
I know you hate to do this to me, but yeah, you got to tell me that. And
especially in such a public forum. This is tough.
I admit that you're right in front of all the listeners.
That's big of you.
Well, do you want to take a little break and we'll come back for round two?
Are you guys going to do little mix-em-ups with your round two?
I'm going to do a little bit of the... I'll try the olive thing I was talking about.
Okay.
All right, folks. We'll see you in a jiffy.
Peace.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
And we're back with some tweaks on the Vesper.
Yep, I did three olives and just a little splash of the juice. And I made like a half of the amount that the recipe was. So getting that tiny bit of Lillet in there was tough.
But it is in there.
Lillet?
It is in there. Lillet. I just kind of put a little splasherini.
And Timothy, you got an olive yourself?
Yeah, I made another round of the Vesper by the book, but then I don't think this is going to work. I put a big fat blue cheese olive in there. Yeah.
And as for me, still by the book over here.
Got it.
It's pretty martini over here. Dirty martini.
Yeah, you know, like, I know we're tiptoeing towards the martini. I just want these all to just be martinis.
I know.
Yeah.
Although, I have been seeing a shitload of espresso martinis out there in the wild.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, and when I see one, I go, ooh, I want one too.
That blue cheese olive. Oh!
There you go.
Yeah, but that's a cheat.
Yeah.
You can put a blue cheese olive in anything. It makes it good.
I just fished it out and ate it. I haven't even... I feel like the... Yeah. I guess it kind of works. The Lillet does clash with an olive, but there's not so much Lillet in there as compared to vermouth, so it kind of does work.
It works.
It works. Okay, let's get into final thoughts, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Not it.
I will say this is good. It's a little... I like a regular martini better, but boy, this is very close.
Because it's basically gin, and you're a gin martini guy.
Yeah, and...
But you get a little vodka in there, too.
I'm not tasting too much of the vodka.
No.
I had a little absolute nip.
Especially if you're using Tanqueray, which is a very distinct taste, that Absolut is just kind of diluting it. It's not even bringing a new flavor to the party.
Yeah.
Yep. But if you use as much lemon as I did, you almost picture a little Absolut Citron.
Okay. That's cool. Yes, the Cosmo ingredient itself.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Tim, your thoughts, please. Submit them to the trio.
I'm conflicted because... This is a podcast first for me where this drink is very, very, very good, right? But as far as order again, it's like one ingredient off of my favorite cocktail. So it's really hard to think. When I ordered it at Dantana's, it was because I had never had one and I wanted to have one. Mm-hmm. When I ordered it with Jeff, it was because we were like, we should have these. We really should have these.
Yeah, it was homework.
And
we did out of a sense of obligation.
When I had him at the wedding, it was the signature cocktail and I loved it. I drank it. But if I'm at a bar, what would ever make me get a Vesper instead of my beloved teeny?
I think it would be for me if I went to a nice steakhouse, kind of like you at Dantana's. I would be like, all right, if I'm at the if I'm at Keen's or something here in New York, I would be like, I want to give these guys a whirl because I've had the Keen's martini and it's very good, but I want to see what they would do otherwise.
I had a family dinner for my 35th birthday. I had a family dinner at Keen's, and steaks, martinis, delicious. And it's always fun when you're at a place like that to order some like one like ancient dish that's like very outdated. Keen's is where like Teddy Roosevelt used to eat. They got pipes on the walls, and it's this ancient place. My brother, just to be historical, he ordered mutton. And like mutton is like, I could be getting this wrong, but I think it's lamb of a certain age, like an older lamb age. The meat's aged, but like the lamb itself is mature.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And it was good, but it was just very funny to see this giant pile, huge chunk of mutton on my brother's plate. I was having like a T-bone or something delicious, and he was forcing down a mutton.
Why are martinis paired with steaks so often? I know you mentioned like it's the strength of the drink, but I also think of like red meat, red wine. So why is like a clear martini so often paired with a steak? I've done it, but maybe I'm just like following my programming, you know?
I do it all the time. I mean, I think it's because I know I'm eating heavy, and
you're gonna drink heavy too, baby.
Well, not heavy, but I want a drink that's cutting through it. Because what's my other favorite cocktail? Mai Tai, maybe? You're not going to drink a sugary Mai Tai with a steak.
You're
there's no room in your stomach when you're taking down a big old cow.
Hey, unless you're at Damon's in Glendale.
That's true. I had Damon's delivered last night.
Woo! Oof. Congratulations,
New York
Sam.
Steak with blue cheese sauce and onion straws.
Oh, the other night I went out to Gallagher's, which is a steakhouse around here. It's an old steakhouse. And I had a martini. It was a great martini. But I wore my green suit. People loved it.
Oh, shit.
The host kept coming up, or like when I came in and went left, he's like, you got to let me borrow that suit.
What the?
Now, what brought you to Gallagher's? Were you celebrating something, or you just going
to Gallagher's? I was hanging with a friend, a New York friend.
Was it a drink or a dinner?
It was a dinner.
A New York friend. Wow. Okay.
Love it.
No questions.
Well, I want to know because here's, every time I go to New York, I try to check one of these, the big boys off the list. I love Peter Luger. I love Keen's. Last time I was there, I did Smith and Walensky. Fantastic.
Let me take you over to Gallagher's when you're in town. Your treat, and we'll stay as long as you want.
Hey, I'll put it on the Sloppy Boys LLC card.
Hey,
green suits all around that time, huh?
Yeah.
Kelly Green from head to toe.
I think I bought something on the Sloppy Boys LLC recently, accidentally. It could have been my recent trip to Benihana. So if that comes through, Jeff.
Michael. Okay, you're going to Gallagher's, you go to Benihana. Tisk, Mike, tisk.
I went to Benihana. It was fun.
Okay, hey, can I get into my final thoughts, please?
Yes, come on. You like it, but you don't want to drink it.
Time for Jefferson's thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
Is it going to be any different from ours?
The boxing bell.
Guys, look at this toothpick, right? It's metal, and it's at the top, a martini shaker.
You're going to break your glass if you use that, Tim.
Well, what do I care? I'm drunk.
I know. Look, yeah, Mikey called it. Here's the thing that bothers me about this. I don't like the taste enough. Like, if I get drunk on these, it's only going to take me 2.5 if I go out. Mm-hmm. And I don't like the taste, and there's enough for that. If you're going like to give me a super strong drink, give me a Mai Tai.
That's got to be a strike against. If you don't like the taste.
If you don't like the taste, if you don't like it taste-wise.
Yeah. What don't you like? Is it the compared to a dry martini? You want a savory olive instead of that lemon zest?
Yeah, I want salty, briny olive.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, it's fine. It's a C. I'd order it again, but like you said,
C.
So close to other things I would rather have.
C?
I still think I do, this being so boozy, I do like it more than like a 50-50 or some type of martini that's like very vermouthy.
Hmm. All right. Maybe C's a little low.
A? How about A+?
If you ever wrote a book, Jeff, about you going out to bars and ordering your favorite drinks, you should call it Boozy Gets Choosy.
Boozy Gets Choosy. Hey, I just thought of another steakhouse.
I'll do
it. The Dal Ray and Pico Rivera. Mike, you mentioned carts rolling around restaurants.
Yeah.
You go to the Dal Ray, get yourself a martini, and then you get your Bananas Foster. They roll out a flambe cart, and they Light up a big fire right in front of you.
Dessert before meal.
Tim, I prefer my carts rolling around Rainbow Road. Thank you very much.
Mario Kart, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jefferson.
I could have also gone with, I prefer my carts rolling around Moo Moo Farm.
Yeah, I
could have done Moo Moo Farm. What's the name of the haunted mansion part one where you're on the rickety plank?
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. It's fucking...
Asbury Park, New Jersey?
No, it's the haunted booze castle. I'm going to edit all this out. I don't know.
Okay, that's fine.
But guys, that's not what I want to talk to you about today.
Can we please get back?
Can somebody take that away from
getting
him?
Annoyed.
I got to text Jessica to just get that thing away from him.
Hey, look, guys, you don't want to pair this martini with a... 8% White Claw surge.
Yeah, you're jacked up on venti. Oh, you got Light Claw.
I had a giant Starbucks, and then the only dinner I had was a gulp of cold hot and sour soup.
That was lunch.
Well, it was lunch and dinner.
Can I ask you guys a question? Personal,
but yeah.
Well, this is surface level. Are you two feeling? Would you say that you're feeling sharp right now?
I'm feeling a little slurry, barfy, sweaty.
Michael?
Speaking of sharp, these chips, ow. Yeah, I'm pretty sharp. I'm pretty with it.
The reason I ask is because you just stumbled into a...
No!
No!
Ah!
I'm not that sharp.
Why?
Yes, that's right. It's the fictional drinkables quiz.
Oh, shit, that's fun. Fictional drinkables.
So
that sounds clickable, shareable.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's good. It's very, it's a shareable Quibi sort of size thing.
This is some Quibi shit.
So these are drinks that appear in fiction or, some form of media. It's not it's not necessarily like the drinks are fictional. They don't exist. Like they,
Butterbeer.
Damn it.
Timothy.
I was going to say butterbeer.
You should hold your tongue.
Change the question now, Jeff, because that is unfair.
You know, I got questions on questions, man. I'm ready for this shit. I know who I'm talking to.
Is this a javelanche of questions?
Nah.
Damn.
It's a drip.
Okay, so sometimes I'm going to ask for the media, and then sometimes I'm going to ask for the drink.
Gotcha.
Okay. Because sometimes the questions are better.
Yeah. Sure.
But I'll tell you ahead of time. Like in this case, I'm looking for the media. Number one. You might know it. I'm going to give you the hard hint, and then I'm going to make it a little easier. Here you go. Name the media. Three Orange Whips.
Blues Brothers.
Fuck!
Michael.
I knew that. John Candy orders it. Fuck.
He does.
Mike, I got a hand.
Hey, but he didn't ask who ordered it, did he, Tim? He asked for the media. He asked for the title.
Yes.
Mike, you won fair and square.
Thank you.
Kicking off a fundraising montage in this musical comedy, John Candy exclaims, Three Orange Whips. That's Blues Brothers. Do you guys know what an orange whip is? I didn't know this.
I think it sounds like a golden dream, right?
It's very similar. It's rum, vodka, cream, and orange juice.
Oh, that sounds fun. Good. Let's do that.
I would do
that. Let's do an orange whip.
That is an orange Julius. Number two.
Also, I love John Candy's whole vibe in that movie. Continue, Jefferson.
That may be, but number two. While you might not want one every single day, you might find yourself in a situation where you meet a girl who does. Sweet vermouth on the rocks with a twist.
Oh, Groundhog Day.
Groundhog's Day.
Timothy.
Well, we may have said that right at the same exact time, but...
But I said it earlier in the question.
Yeah, you did say it earlier, so that's...
So he got it, Mike.
So you get it. You get
it. Now, if I recall, this is podcast canon, that we talked about this drink once, and then Mike wanted to do a review of it, but he called a condom company.
Oh. Oh, shit.
Yeah, I remember that.
Reviewed the drink.
You reviewed the drink.
How did you know I called a condom company?
Don't worry about it.
Well, first of all, what are you talking about? You're crazy.
Next question, Jefferson.
Next question, number three. I need the media. A nice Chianti.
Silence of the Lambs.
Correct.
And Dumb and Dumber. Sorry, Jeff.
Oh,
just busted your quiz wide open.
Oh, shit. Is it in Dumb and Dumber?
Well, he's quoting Silence of the Lambs, no?
Well, he's quoting Silence of the Lambs. Well, that's medium, my man.
If I, you know, the full line is Hannibal Lecter saying, I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. But, Mike, would you like a side point?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's fair. That I can't argue with that. Here's what I've learned about Chianti. I'm not a wine guy, but when you see those bottles that are like wicker on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. The wicker man, yeah.
That's a Chianti bottle.
Damn.
Ah, the wicker bottle.
Number four. I'm looking for the name of the drink.
Oh.
Like many of the drinks we cover on the pod, the origin of this cocktail is as disputed as hotly as it is served. The secret ingredient? Nothing but plain, ordinary, over-the-counter children's cough syrup.
Flamin' Moe.
The Flaming Moe. That's right, Michael from The Simpsons.
Now, wait just a second.
Uh-huh.
It's my understanding that Bill Oakley came out with a Simpsons cookbook this year, and there's a Flaming Moe recipe. Do you mean to tell me it's cough syrup?
No way.
He probably can't do that.
It can't. But everybody knows they've got to put a little Robitussin in there.
But in the episode, it's just Robitussin?
No, it's like a bunch of different alcohols and children's cough syrup and set on fire.
Ah, yes.
And the dispute is between Homer and Moe.
Homer and his bartender.
Homer Simpson, Moe Szyslak.
Number five. I'm looking for the media.
Okay.
One of the few unmakeable drinks on this quiz, Moloco Plus, comes laced with potent drugs such as Velocet, Synthemesk, and Drencrum.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
No, good guess, though.
Huh.
And it might get you ready for a bit of the ultraviolence.
A Clockwork Orange!
Correct, Timothy. I'll give it to you. Number six.
Hey, wait a second. When we went to Ithaca College, there was a bar in the Commons that was named after the milk bar.
Moloco's?
No. I don't remember it, but it
Kelly's
was
Dockside?
Yeah, Moonshadows.
Moonshadows?
I'll think of it. You continue.
Great. Number six. Miravor is elf liquor with magical healing properties in this fantasy series.
Lord of the Rings.
Ooh, that's a split. You both got it.
What the hell?
Now, Split is actually a movie. Do I get a side point for that?
Ooh, Tim, do you want a side point for that?
I would like... I actually want a jumbo-sized side point that's worth like one and a half side points.
No, sorry. No side points for that one. Number seven.
Damn.
This butterscotch-flavored, lightly...
Butterbeer. Harry Potter.
I was looking for butterbeer.
Hogsmeade.
And it was, you know, Mike, you got it. Mike, you
Ron
got it.
Weasley.
I said that 15 fucking minutes ago.
I don't think the game had started then. That's like...
Yeah, you blew your wad, dude.
Oh.
Yuck.
Number eight. Peter Griffin and his pals are often drinking this... Huh?
Family Guy.
Sorry, I'm looking for the drink.
Pawtucket Pat.
Quahog Cooler.
Pawtucket Phil?
Mike, you got it.
Yay.
Peter Griffin and his pals are often drinking this parody of New England staple Sam Adams. Pawtucket Pat or Pawtucket Patriot.
Damn.
At the Clam Rest, what's it called? He's the...
Drunken Clam.
Drunken Clam.
Now... Mitch is from Boston. He says that if you're a real Boston person, you don't drink Sam Adams. You drink Bud Light.
Okay. Number nine. This homebrew comes from the garage of Drug Enforcement and Administration Agent Hank Schrader.
Schraderbrow.
Schraderbrow. Timothy.
That's a good one.
All right. Let me count up the points here.
Ooh. I hope I have literal thousands.
We do have two a side point each, so that might be...
No, mine was denied.
Oh, shit.
Mike, you have a side point. Should you choose to use it?
Mm-hmm.
That's important to note.
Side point... Using side point is kind of like the ice option in the Russian route.
Yeah.
It's kind of like... most people would use it, but you do not have it.
Laura Vinegar would use it. Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Ooh, counting the points is harder than I thought. Let me just make sure I'm right here.
I'm a little bit Dr. Unk.
Yeah, geez. These, well, that's the thing about the drink with the two liquors. That's,
yeah. Liquor makes you sicker. Well,
Okay, Mike.
Yeah.
Do you want to use your side point?
Yes, 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 I do. It's important to me that I use that.
Are you sure, Mike? Mm-hmm.
Because I only ask because it's 5 points to 5 points, but you have a side point. So if you do want to use it, yeah. you
think
you,
about it, Mike. Think this over.
No, I get it, and I do want to use it.
Final answer?
Okay.
Final answer. Phone a friend.
Okay, so what is that? If we each have five, and then he adds one.
Mm-hmm. So we each have six now.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention side points apply to both players. In this game, in this one, it applies to both players, Mike. Are you sure you want to use it?
No.
Okay, then we're going into overtime. One final question.
Oh, shit.
While Nana...
Michael's using his side point. It's tied up.
Yes. I'm looking for the name of the drink.
All right.
While non-alcoholic, there's certainly something up with this soda. It makes you fly.
Excuse me, Gazoon Tight, what was the question?
While non-alcoholic, there's certainly something up with this soda. It makes you fly.
The fucking soda from the fucking Willy Wonka.
You gotta name it, baby.
Ah, shit. Super lifty drink. Fizzy lifting drink.
Correct, Mike. You win.
Oh, fuck.
Thank you.
I knew it would bite me in the ass that I've never seen Charlie and the Chocolate Factory ever.
For
in my
real?
Life.
Ooh.
No, remember, in the Birthday Boys days, you guys would always pitch parodies, and I'd be like, no one's seen that movie.
That's our show, folks. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon, where subscribers can unlock The Sloppy Boys Blowout, our weekly bonus episode. And like we mentioned, you can get some ad-free episodes. And questions for Len in the monthly bonus episode by Mr. Mike Hanford himself.
You sure can.
Well, I have nothing to do with that. That's John Lennon coming in.
And if you want to support the arts, Jeff, tell them about your fucking thing.
Oh, shit. Yes, that's right, everybody. Lil Mookie B and I, Mookie Blakelock, we're shooting an independent comedy short called Fine Dining. And we are in our last week of fundraisers. I've got an Indiegogo. You can find it in my bio at Jefferson Dutton. And maybe I'll even stick it in the bio of the Sloppy Boys. I don't know.
Yeah, and also it's like one of these things. Weren't you saying, Jeff, there's no maximum to the donations? You could go as high as you want?
You could go sky high. You could go venti to the vents.
Now, this is interesting because you guys are two smart and funny guys, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah.
That's something I want to see.
You know, this is one of those things that Mookie had written. There was some interest in it, and the company said, we like that. We want to do it. Yeah. And then they sat on it, and they sat on their asses.
They missed their chance.
They missed their chance, and Mookie said, enough of this shit. I'd rather just do it myself.
Yeah.
If you want to fundraise, you might even see that we've gotten closer, achieved our goal. But I'll tell you this. If we overraise, that money's going on the screen, and it's going to things you don't think about, like hard drives and colorists and festival submissions.
You think that we don't think about hard drives? That's the main thing I think of.
I'm sorry. I take it all back.
And a new directing jacket for Jeff.
Yes, yes, yes. Made of diamond.
And some new sneakers for Jeff.
But folks, check that out. It's called Fine Dining, and it's on Indiegogo. We appreciate it.
Bye. Goodbye.
Bye, folks.
Later.